Countdown to 8:06, weekdays from 7 p.m. on 2FM.
Countdown to 8:06 on 2FM, and it's time for another exclusive podcast because we're going to be talking about music with Fiona McManus for the next couple of minutes. And I'm very delighted to be joined on the phone by Fiona. How are you doing, Fiona?
I'm good, thanks, Paddy.
Excellent. Okay, well, this is great. I'm very excited to talk about music for the Leaving Cert. I'm hope as excited as the students that are doing the exam. Well, first of all, give us the layout of the paper.
Okay, well, there's two papers. Paper one is the listening paper, and it's 90 minutes long. And there are four questions on the set works, followed by an Irish music question and then an aural skills question. And then there's a little 15-minute break, and then this is followed then by paper two, which is the composing paper. So again, it's 90 minutes long, and they have to answer a question on melody and a question on harmony. By now, they should have 50%. Most students will have 50% completed with their practical exam, which is held before Easter. So they have a good bulk of it behind them before they sit down to the actual written papers.
Is the practical exam performance, or how does that work, just out of interest?
The practical exam is performance, but there is also a technology section as well. So by using a program, Sibelius, on a computer, they input music, and there's another section to the practical exam. So some of them perform solely, some of them combine performance with the technology as well.
Will there be an ability to take anything that you've learned in the or used in the practical at this stage and apply it in the written? Is there anything you can use from before
Not
Easter?
Not really. I suppose for question six, the aural skills, it's really a broad question. The department can select any type of music from any genre, any variety.
Okay.
So it could be popular, it could be classical, it could be choral, it could be vocal, it could be musical theatre. So, I mean, depending on what style of music the student has been learning and what style of music they're into, it could be to their advantage. But ultimately, the amount of, I suppose, rounded study that they have done in music will help them overall.
Excellent. Will you break down the timings for each question for me, if you'd be so good, Fiona?
I will, of course, yeah. The listening paper question one is a case really of following the flow of the CD. So they don't have to be specified to sections for different times. So really they're just following the flow of the CD, and there's sufficient gaps in between the playings to complete their answers. So my advice really is to stay with the question until the final playing to make sure you've answered everything correctly. Don't be tempted to go on to the next question. The only really timed part of paper one is question 5B, which is the Irish music essay. So only higher level students will be doing this section, and I would give myself 11 minutes to complete this short essay before, again, you'll be moved on through the CD for your question six. And with paper two, again, it's 90 minutes. I would suggest 5 minutes just to look over the paper, 30 minutes for your melody question, 45 minutes for your harmony question, and then 10 minutes just to check, because it's so important at the very end as well.
With the Irish music essay, now what's required there? You say there's 11 minutes of work to be done.
Yeah, so approximately 10 or 11 minutes. You get a nice little bit of time to do it, so it should be fairly detailed. But always remember that this is part of the listening examination. So your essay or your answer must reflect the fact that you have listened to the music associated with the topic. So I would give maybe one sentence for a little introduction and one sentence for a conclusion. Don't be thinking of it in terms of history or English essays. It's a very, very, very short essay. No waffle within this essay. There should be 4 to 5 valid points that relate back, as always, to what you're asked in the question. But the most important thing is that every single point that you make has musical references, names of musicians, names of bands, names of recordings, names of websites that you've looked up, anything that really relates back to experiencing the music in any way, shape or form.
Now, question six, we alluded to it already, was the aural skills.
Right.
What I mean, that brings me back to my old ear tests and whatnot in music or piano exams. What's the lookout for there? I'm sure it's not really like that at all.
It's not really like that. I know what you're talking about. A lot of students are aware of that type of aural skills as well from their piano exams and violin exams. But this is slightly different. I suppose, in a way, what they're trying to do is they're drawing on, as I said earlier, all of your knowledge, everything that you've learned from the set works. So everything from Bohemian Rhapsody to Bach to Tchaikovsky, plus anything else that you know as well. So I suppose you're asked, the most important thing is to read the question, how many sections are there and how many times are they played? Because generally speaking, it is is three sections played three times, but that can change. So you don't want to be left expecting a final hearing of a track and it doesn't happen. You're often asked to write in melodic or rhythmic dictation, so don't leave any blanks anywhere. Get something down on the page, and that goes for all of the listening paper, really. Also, a common error within this section is in the comparison questions. So it's very important that the students make sure they reference both sections in a comparison question. For example, an answer such as section B was polyphonic texture and voices were added wouldn't suffice. You'd need to say section B was polyphonic and used voices, whereas section A was homophonic and no voices were heard. Something along that, just making sure that they always reference both sections. And above all else, just don't leave any blanks. Put something down for that question.
Oh, this sounds mega, this paper, I have to say. I didn't get a chance to do music for the Leaving Cert. Oh, I'm so jealous.
I'm surprised you didn't do it, Patrick.
I wasn't an option in my school, but look, I've got loads of questions here in on Facebook, because Paul Sheehan asks, in the composition questions, both melody and harmony, how important are rules like doubling fifths and whatnot, as he says?
Well, with regard to melody, it doesn't matter at all, because you're just talking about one line of music, the melody line, so it's nothing that you have to worry about there. With regard to the harmony question, it does depend on the question that you do, whether it's 4, 5 or 6. I'm going to discuss from the point of view question 5, because that's the most common question. I think 97% of students would do that. In that case, really, all you're asked, and this, it's a lot of students get confused because they think it's like old style harmony, but really the type of question is just to add chords and a bass line. So within that case, you don't really have to worry about parallel fifths, I think is the term that he's trying to use there. You do need to be careful of doubling a major third, however, if you are using a first inversion chord. So students, again, who are used to this type of question will know exactly what I'm talking about. But as for fifths, they don't need to worry about it.
He also asks, have you any tips on getting full marks in both the composition questions?
The harmony question, yes, it's very possible to get full marks. Keep it simple. Don't try to be too adventurous with it. Make sure you pay attention to detail with everything. For example, the right size Roman numerals. It is the best answer question on the Leaving Cert paper, and it's also the heaviest weighted question. So it is a good one. But I think for the harmony, yes, it's definitely possible. Melody, it's a little bit harder. It's a little bit more subjective. It's up to the corrector and how they feel that the melody moves. I would suggest once that you've got accuracy, you've read the instructions and you've answered everything carefully, and that you've reached a point of climax at some point within the melody. A lot of people tend to write a nice melody, but they don't really reach a nice high point or a low point at some point, at some part. Also, to add a little bit of colour, a little bit of flair within the melody. And if you can hear it back, or if you can sing it back within your head, that's obviously the best way to gauge whether it's a strong melody. It's very, very, very seldom that a lot of students will get top marks in the melody. Like I said, you have to have a sort of an exceptional flair for it. But there is a lot of students who get 36, 37, 38 out of 40, which is still an excellent answer. But like I said, for the harmony, yeah, just keep it simple, be very, very accurate, make sure you've got your attention to detail, and it's very, very possible to get full marks in the question.
I just can't believe this is a subject for the Leaving Cert. This is just, it's brilliant. I know there's lots of students going now, shut up, Paddy. It's actually quite difficult, and you know, it's not a lot of fun as much as you think it might be.
No, there is a lot of learning, and it is quite tricky, but I think it's probably an enjoyable subject. That's the most important.
Yeah, and I guess a lot of people that do this subject are doing it because they have a love of music and want to do the subject. Would that be true to say?
Yeah, they do. I mean, majority of students that come in, they have played all the way up. You have the sort of the battle where you've got a really, really good musician that hasn't got the theory side.
I see. I can imagine that, yeah.
Yeah. So that's just the practical side is fair, because they can get their marks there. And likewise, you've got people who maybe aren't very strong with their playing, but are very, very strong with regards to their theory. So it's fair within that context.
There'll be a lot of instinctive musicians that would never have read music and whatnot. I can see that sort of stuff, that side to it, which must be a new challenge for them.
It's a new challenge for them, and it's also a challenge for the teacher as well, because you have to get, eventually it takes a couple of weeks to get all the students on the same page and on the same level theory-wise. But as I said, I think if you love a subject enough and if you're passionate about it and if you enjoy it, you know, that'll speed that process up a good bit, and they'll get there in the end.
Fiona, I want to ask you a couple more questions on Facebook before you go, because Shannon Clark says, just give us a quick reminder how to modulate in a major key. Been a while since I've been written in a major melody, now that I think about it, says she.
Well, The first thing I will say is that there is a fairly good chance that a major melody will appear. Minor appeared last year, so there is a chance that a major would appear. So it is crucial that she is able to modulate accurately. Now, every teacher will have their own approach, but the way I do it is once you know the key of the melody, once you know the key of the melody, and you can't do anything in your composing if you do not know your key signatures, whatever the key of the melody is, I would count up five notes. So, for example, if the melody is in the key of D, count up five notes from D, including the note itself. D, E, F, G, A. If you put A in bar 8, the last note of bar 7 is the note that comes before A, which is G. If there's a sharp in the key signature, you add a sharp to that G. And if there's a flat in the key signature, you add a natural to that G. In that case, so if there's a sharp in the key signature, you add a sharp to modulate. If there's a flat in the key signature, you add a natural to modulate. Probably sounds very complicated, but I'm sure if she's done anything on it already, that will make a lot of sense.
Great.
It's crucial that she can do it, and it's very, very important because it could really appear this year.
That makes sense. And Gemma Meenan says, any thoughts as to which set work will be the 25 marker?
Oh, well, without saying what I think it could be, maybe I could say what I think it mightn't be. I really don't think it's going to be Bach, because that has appeared at the 25 marker before. I would probably say keep a close eye on Tchaikovsky or Bohemian Rhapsody. Possibly rule out Bach, as I said, and Gerald Barry. But having said that, you know, anything can appear, but maybe take a little bit closer attention to Bohemian Rhapsody and Tchaikovsky as the 25.
That's
mark.
Fair enough. Then you got to prioritise at this stage. So they're
exactly.
The ones you could kind of maybe look at first.
Exactly, for the 25 marker, exactly.
Okay, look, there's so much in there. Really appreciate your time, Fiona, and I'm sure the students the same. And I'm off now to maybe just see if I can, you know, take up music for the Leaving Cert again. It sounds
you're more than welcome into my class anytime.
Great course. Right, listen, it's been a pleasure. Fiona McManus with an exclusive podcast on music for the Leaving Cert on Countdown to 8:06 on 2FM.
Countdown to 8:06, weekdays from 7 p.m. on 2FM.